Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above. And happy Friday to everybody. We are looking at the weekend, and how awesome is it that this weekend is a fairly quiet one. We always have plenty to talk about, so don't worry. On top of that, it's a weekend that is in a preparation phase, if you will, for Monday's new moon. And Monday's new moon is the second new moon of Cancer, and for, you know, this time period to have two new moons is sort of extraordinary. And we are also looking at the completion of our spiral of consciousness through Pleiadian Earth energy, and looking then at tomorrow's beginning, new beginning. So we have a lot of things that maybe we can bring to a close or bring to an end. And all of that would be in service to or in preparation for the new beginning represented by that new moon. So we have that to talk about today. And let's see, I think that's really all I have will be today's moon, the new moon, and our Pleiadian energy. And then we'll go into doing readings for people. And let's see who's checking in with us already. Good morning, Amy and Augustina. She says, rise and shine, everyone. I love it. Moon sign supplies. Good morning, Janet and everyone. It's Tati. I'm just on my business account. Well, nice to see you, Tati. And nice to see you, Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel and J-Lo and Tom. Hey. And J-Lo says, hello, Astro Fam. And I'm sure there are more people joining us as we move on here. Let me make sure everything's working. I have it recording. Yes, I sometimes forget that. Or as people pointed out to me earlier this week, it started recording my voice well before I started the show, which was so weird. And anyway, so now I'm going to be uber cautious about what goes on just before I start my morning broadcast. So today is Friday. So we have some interesting energies to look at, closing up a cycle and preparing us for the next cycle. Today's moon is in Gemini, and soon we'll go into the void being from 2:15 p.m. my time this afternoon here on the West Coast, and lasting until 7:25 a.m. tomorrow morning. And that is when when the void will break with the moon's entry into the sign of Cancer. And therein, we really start to prepare for that new moon time of 28 degrees Cancer. We'll talk more about the new moon in a minute. So if you're on the East Coast, then literally your entire day is free and your work day is free from the void. And you will have that until 10:25 tomorrow morning. For those of us on the West Coast, get your work done early in the day up till 2, and then prepare to just not start anything new. Anything new started later this afternoon is not going to go anywhere. Not very far, very fast anyway. And so we might as well just go with the flow, right? And just say, I'm going to take the rest of the afternoon off, or I'm just going to do things that were already in my calendar or on my calendar, and not worry about, you know, presenting myself with new things that I have to do. So closing out the day then fairly early for us on the West Coast. And moving on. Today, the only aspect that the moon makes that's new is a square to Neptune. And literally that happens at 2:15. So things get murky this afternoon. And that is 2:15 my time. So 5:15 for you all on the East Coast. Things get murky this afternoon. So do your important stuff early, because a square to Neptune with the moon brings us that inability to see things clearly. And then we also have the void, of course, slowing things down. So get things done early. Even those are wise words, even for those of you on the eastern side of the country or in Europe, even because, you know, why not? It's Friday, right? The energy is already naturally slowing down. You know, get rest, get your social life on, do things differently today than you would Monday through Thursday, for example. Then the time after the void breaks, the moon will be in Cancer, And that means we're then in real preparation for the new moon. And the new moon is a very powerful one this time. Not that none of them have been powerful in the past, because they have been, but we have been in so much learning about things across the axis of Cancer and Capricorn, right? The home and family aspect versus our more worldly selves, our profession or our career, being, you know, across an axis, we have the opposition pulling us in two different directions. So where is our foundation? That has been one of the big key things that we've been working on. And then how does that foundation support us for going out into the world to do our real work? And of course, the world is also moving through the same energy. And we can see it in the outer world as destruction and reconstruction, the breaking down of old systems and old ways, old institutions. And in favor of what we can't quite see yet is the new world, or how things will shape up as we move forward. So for us personally, though, the new moon in Cancer, or the moon's transit in Cancer, brings up issues around home and family. So we may feel more homebound, or feel more like staying at home. I know Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel, and I were having sort of a conversation at last night, text conversation, but a conversation nonetheless. And I mean, I think the feeling both of us got was, you know, stay out of the maelstrom, right? Stay out of the craziness of that outer world, and only work on what you can work on, which is your own point of view, healing your own inner wounds, finding your own foundation and building that more strongly. And then what the outer world does is kind of its own business. Your only choice here is, how do you react to that? Or how do you respond to that? What do you do in keeping with your own values and with what your own sense of home is in the face of these crazy things that keep happening outside? Safety and security, another big concern with the sign of Cancer. And, you know, Cancer, the crab, kind of surrounded by that hard shell, protecting the soft inner underbelly of the creature itself. And that's sort of the model for people who are powered by Cancer energy in their own charts through their rising, their sun, maybe other planets of importance. They tend to have that sort of crab shell around them, sort of protecting them. So they tend to pull back a little bit into the shell. So right now we may feel a little bit like pulling back in for safety or for security. And I think it's funny that, you know, just as the biggest indicator of the world crashing around us in the outer world happens to be COVID-19. And isn't it interesting that states are having to pull back and do things that they should have done months ago, or in states like mine, where we did pull back and, you know, safe and stayed at home and did a lot of staying, you know, safe during those months, we're noticing this surge in this virus as things open up and we go back out in the world. So we have a lot of impetus then to stay home and stay safe and to stay secure and, you know, keep our home base very secure and very solid. Also in Cancer, of course, we're dealing with feelings, moods, emotions. So we could look at for today and tomorrow, later today, tomorrow, and most of Sunday, and all of Sunday. So all of tomorrow, all of Sunday, and a good chunk of Monday is being emotional and having to deal with those up and down rolling emotions, perhaps. Where your feelings are triggered by something and you can go down into that moodiness and then come back up again at the other side because something else happens. And that's kind of the feeling, kind of rolling through different emotions and feelings over the weekend. Nurturing energy, also a part of that Cancer experience. It is about caring and empathy and how we care for one another, how we reach out to people in need, and how we help our own family through times of crisis and emotional upheaval. Totally forgot to plug my computer into power this morning. So, whoa, thank God I caught that. Otherwise, it would have just totally gone off. So nurturing energy, and that is also pointed at yourself. sometimes it's real easy to nurture other people in your life to make sure that everybody else has gotten their breakfast or their lunch or dinner, gotten dressed, gotten their hair done, gotten ready, and here you are running around in your slippers, not having eaten, and you know, those kinds of your personal needs not being met. So a time for you to address your own personal needs as well as the needs perhaps of the people around you, particularly those of you who are mothers and have small children or children at all, and their needs, you know, their demands that they place upon you. This is a time then too for self-protection. Interesting way to look at this, because the more negative expression of Cancer energy is about over self-protection. And that can mean sometimes that fear that we have of abandonment or fear of rejection is also huge in Cancer, where we want to cling to what we know and what's safe and what's secure instead of letting go and moving forward a bit. So we'll be looking at that over the weekend as well. In the body, Cancer rules the stomach and the pancreas. And so issues around the stomach, not digestion, right? That's Virgo's realm, but Cancer itself rules like ulcers that are created from worry or from moving into those more scary emotional feelings. Tumors also are ruled by Cancer, as well as the breasts and the chest cavity itself. So that's the part of the body. And of course, a new moon is always going to take us to what are our intentions? What are our goals? What do we want to manifest in our lives? And so any of these issues would be good, you know, fodder for new moon intentions. Maybe you want to learn how to be more in tune with your emotions. The moon is also very intuitive. And so Cancer, as the sign ruled by the moon, also rules our intuition, our ways of knowing that are instinctual and intuitive and often triggered by a fear reaction or something in the field that scares us, that creates an emotional trigger or an emotional reaction. So we get to work with all of this. Maybe you've been triggered all along by a fear of getting out into the world or going out and really living your life purpose. And this might be a great moon, a new moon for you to be able to work with that, right? To be able to let go of those old fears and those things that have caught you up and stopped you from really going out and expressing the truth of who you want to be, indeed the truth of who you are. So that's our basic energy around Cancer and what it represents. Wow, let's see who else has joined us this morning. Adrienne Jones, wishing you all a radiant Friday. I love that. I love the way you express that. Adrienne, are you new to us or just able to join us live this morning? And if so, welcome. It's great to see you. And let's see who else. Taylor Jenkins, good morning to you. Jennifer Peachy, good morning. Kimberly, good morning. Val says, good morning. Hallelujah. It's Friday. Excited for the new moon. I am a Cancer moon, natal. Not sure what that means, but I feel connected. Well, this is your moon, right? This is your full soul connection to emotions, to nurturing, and to all of the concerns around building a solid foundation. And those are important things for you as a Cancer moon yourself to have built. So in a way, depending on the degree of your moon, this could be a new moon for you, right? A transiting new moon. So the new moon actually occurs at 28 degrees of Cancer. So depending on what degree your moon is at, Valerie's saying 27 degrees and 28. So, wow. So this is a pretty powerful time for you, Valerie, as it represents, it's not the exact yet. I'm not sure if that will hit this time or not, but it is your cyclical new moon as well. So through the moon transiting through all the different signs and all of the different, transits she makes, this one is a new moon that's occurring at your natal moon, which gives you sort of a really powerful new energy, opening energy, portal energy for being something different, right? For creating a different expression of who you are out there. Ursula, good morning. And Moon Sign Supply says, I'm a Cancer moon too. Love it. So family is important to you ladies. Having a solid foundation I think you probably with the moon are, you feel more safe and secure to go out in the world and do what you do when the bills are paid, when the cupboards are full, when the house is cleaned, or when everything is, you know, in its proper place. You feel nurtured and supported by having a very comfortable yet safe home atmosphere. And then, of course, your emotional self is really tied into the phases of the moon. You're likely very moody and go up and down easily into the different moods that the moon will bring us through. And as the moon transits through a chart, it's affecting, you know, in its 28 and a half day period of time that it's transiting through a chart, it's hitting all the planets. So you're a moon child, right? A moon child. So you're hitting those same moods in stride with the moon as it transits through your chart. And then the house that it's in, that your natal moon is in, will show you where changes in your, let's say it's in your fifth house, the house of joy and play, and your ideas of having joyful playtime might change based on where the moon is, right? If it's in a conjunction to Saturn, like it will be, or it's in an opposition to Saturn at the new moon, you may feel less like playing and being out in the world, expressing joy or being creative, just because of the serious nature of the moon in opposition to Saturn. You may feel more like you need to go inward and maybe prepare for the next creative moment. So very much someone who is affected by the transits of the moon. Asa, would you look at where 28 degrees Cancer in your chart for the intentions? Yes. Yes, indeed. So that would be the best place. If you look at where 28 degrees Cancer is in your chart, that's going to give you the house. That is the place where the action is taking place over the new moon, and gives you an idea then of what your intentions might be more empowered around. So if, like, for instance, I'm trying to think, Asa, it's been a while since I've looked at your chart, so I can't remember exactly where, what house that's in. Gosh, I can't even remember your rising sign at this moment. Dang, I think it's Libra, or maybe it's Scorpio. Anyway, so Cancer is likely on the other side of your chart, maybe in the sixth house, fifth house. Michelle Good, good morning. Ursula says, I think the part of fortune for USA is 26 Cancer 12. It's in the eighth house. Hope I am reading that right. Maybe, I'm not sure. I don't have that chart, but that would be interesting to me, Ursula, because my rising sign is 26 degrees Cancer. And that is pretty much where the sun is sitting today, at 26 degrees Cancer. So the sun hitting my my ascendant. And that's always a new opportunity to engage in your point of view or how you're going to affect the world. I had some really magical things happen to me yesterday. Maybe I'll just take the moment to share. Two big things. One I can't really share with you right yet. But the first one was yesterday I had an appointment to go back to the doctor because I remember last year in May, I think it was, I had a skin cancer removed from inside my ear. And for whatever reason, just a couple of weeks ago, I felt like there was something going on in my ear. And it felt to me almost like there was a recurrence of cancer. So I made an appointment with the doctor. I'd rather be, you know, cautious and go to the doctor and have it checked out. But yesterday morning, before I came on air here, I said to, you know, I was preparing to tell all of you and me, myself and I, that we're the ones that are creating our reality by our thoughts. Remember, we talked about that and the words that we use. And so I went, okay, this is your opportunity. How do you want this to turn out? And so I, you know, as fearful as I was, and not like fear of my life kind of thing, but just, oh gosh, to have to go through that again. As much as that fear was in uppermost in my mind, I stopped myself at that moment and said, how do you want this to turn out? What story do you want to write about this? So I changed the story. I said it was going to be a false alarm, that it was going to look perfect, that there was going to be some benign reason why I've been feeling that there was something going on with this ear. I was going to be willing and able to look at what does something, a problem in the ear represent, i.e. listening, what am I not hearing, that kind of thing. And my feeling around that, because feelings were so important, was going to be that I was in joy because this was not a problem. I mean, I really did all of this right down. I used words in the beginning that I didn't like. And so I was like, cancel, cancel. Let me rephrase this. I did all that yesterday morning before I came on air. Then I talked to you all about that. Well, my appointment was yesterday afternoon, and the doctor takes one look at my ear and he goes, there's nothing wrong. He said, let's go over here and look at it under the microscope. I'm like, okay. He looks at it under the microscope. There is not a thing wrong. All the surgery that they did in there was perfectly perfect. It was healed. And there was no thing for me to be concerned about. And I can tell you the exact feeling I had in that moment was joy, right? Joy and excitement. And it was profound because I realized in that moment, we really are creating our reality. And even if the outer world looks chaotic and crazy, and some of that collective stuff going on is a little bit out of our control in terms of, you know, driving where it's going, we personally have the ability through our thoughts and our words to affect our reality. Now, the second thing that happened yesterday, which I cannot share all of the details about, but had to do with, remember last Saturday, we were talking, last Friday, we talked about on Saturday, Chiron was turning retrograde, and that likely we were going to have an experience of our wound, and that maybe something coming back up for us for healing, because that's what Chiron is all about, the healing of the wound. And I told you how I had been triggered by something about growing and being seen more and that kind of thing, because my son is in the 12th house and I like to hide and be invisible. And yesterday, so my focus behind the scenes has been about creating a pathway to being more widely heard or recognized in the world. And moving through whatever it is that fear is that I have of that, right? Whatever that is. So it's really, part of me wants to think this is a vanity issue. And I had to stop myself and go back and go, no, because this is a theme throughout your life. It's like a little turtle, right? Peeking her head out. And then as soon as she gets seen, coming back into her shell, and how that is not a very positive way to move through your life, especially if that's your biggest lessons. So yesterday I was contacted by someone that really represents to me the magic of being willing to work on your wound and how the world, the universe somehow starts opening doors and windows to allow you to test that theory. Are you through this? Have you healed this wound? Are you open-hearted enough to go on, even though this has been something you've worked on all your life? And I was floored by how magical the interaction was, because it came out of the blue, and I misread the person's email that she sent to me about the instance. And so we ended up having this conversation going back and forth on email. And then finally we just called one another and talked through this, and it was just amazing. And it was miraculous. And so I'm telling you all of these things because you too can experience these kinds of miraculous shifts, these kinds of changes in your reality when you choose to implant thoughts into your mind and use words in your life that are more positive and change the story. So that's the long way around for me to come back to this idea of the moon in Cancer and this idea here of how we've been sort of pulled back and in, and we've been nurturing ourselves almost out of fear, right? There's a lot of fear out here, and we have to be able to change what that is all about for all of us. So long explanation, but hopefully everybody understands what I was talking about with that. Asa, Scorpio rising. Yes. So that means Taurus on the other side. So you've got Cancer probably in your ninth house is what I would guess, ninth or 10th house. Tom, question, how the heck did you get your head under the microscope so the doc could look at your ear? They have microscopic, you know, things they put on their forehead and they look into your ear. And It's up on a screen. So it's not me putting my head under a microscope. It's him taking the scope to my ear, looking in it, and projecting it up on a screen. Too funny. You're so funny. Okay. So Anna Fulton, good morning. Good to see you. Ursula, powerful message for us. Janet, fully human and completely bridging the divine for us to, as a witness and be inspired. Oracle feels, Oracle shares. Yeah. You know, I've had that experience before where sometimes I feel like I TMI, right? Too much information. But in this particular context, you know, we are living our astrology. That's why I named my business Living Astrology, because I felt like, you know, what I'm living through is what you may be living through it as well in some different way, in some different house, in some different part of your life. But if we can share this, then we can really come to understand ourselves better. We can understand the people in our lives and their struggles. We can even understand more the struggles of the world around us as we're moving through things and evolving and devolving at some cases in order to evolve. And there's just so much, right? And most of us, if we even try to think about the outer world, it just gets to be too overwhelming, too sad even, and too upsetting. So we come back and then we realize the only person that I can change is me. But that change is impactful, right? It's impactful. You have impact, right? You have impact. Whether you believe it or not, you do, because what you do, what you think, what you say has power and then goes out as a force into the world. So as each of us change and evolve and grow and mature, we allow that same energy to roll out from us to other people, and they pick that up, and then they're able to do that same thing, shifting and growing and evolving. Okay, so Cancer's in the 11th for Amy. So Amy, this is a great time for you to go into the envisioning process. Who do you want to be? How do you want to show up in the world? This is a goals sort of place for you. Broadening your hopes and your dreams, using different language maybe in how you bring that up to the surface. 12th house Cancer, Valerie, same with me. 12th house, then what is it that lies in the deep that is sabotaging you? Where are the fears? What are the, how have you hidden your light in your life? And what steps can you take now to still feel secure and safe and have a strong foundation, but to uncover your light so that it can shine brighter out into the world? J-Lo, Cancer's on the first and second house. So this is an internal thing going on with you, J-Lo, as you're looking at what is your viewpoint? Who are you as a mother? Who are you as an emotional being? How does that affect your self-worth and your self-esteem and how you'd feel worthy to go out into the world and live your life? So lots of fun things, all of this going on at 28 degrees of Cancer. So yay. Let's see. What do I want to go to now? The new moon actually occurs on Monday. So right now I'm going to go to the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day, because I think it is fascinating as well for us to look at. Of course, everything fascinates me. Today's 13 day, right? The universal energy of the day is the 13. It is the energy of completion. So we are closing the door, buttoning up shop on our one exploring energy that we began with in this 13-day spiral of consciousness. So we are fully integrating everything we've learned from the moment we pulsed. We were pulsed with the energy of exploration, and then we moved through all the different energies through the universal and through the earth energy. So now we're integrating, right? We're letting everything that we've learned settle within us. We are in preparation for ascension, if you will, to the next level. Ascension requires us to return to source, to go within. We are source, right? You are your own source, because within you lies the connection to our God or to our source or to cosmos, whatever you choose to call it, to goddess. And in that process, we are going deeply within for self-evaluation, for just a look at how well we've learned our lessons through this 13-day week. And then we are preparing for that new cycle. And what is that new cycle going to bring for us, right? So we began at one exploring, and we're ending this spiral on 13 moving. Now, moving in the Mayan calendar was Chichon, and Chichon was the snake. And what do we know about snake energy? It is the healing energy of transformation, shedding its skin in order to grow. So it kind of speaks to what our need is right now in order to move to the next cycle, is that we are shedding something, something that's no longer useful. It's like taking off the old mask and popping it into the trash can and moving on, right? That growth, it implies growth and it implies expansion in some ways. So the 13 moving energy is exploring differences. Like, how is your perspective now different than what it was when you entered into this cycle? What are you confronting within you? And what have you discovered within you at this point in time? And when I say confrontation, this isn't like Mars confrontation where it has to be angry or filled with conflict. This is just about looking at it, being willing to go, ah, I see you, right? I see you. I see how you have impacted my life, or how you have controlled me in some way, or how I have controlled myself is literally where we go with that. And what do I discover in that process that allows me to move forward fearlessly, perhaps? And we can also feel very reactive. Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, I think this is what you and I were feeling last night, kind of the precursor to today's energy, where we can feel reactive toward world circumstances, where the things that are happening in that outer world just seem so big and so devastating and so impacting on everyone that, you know, it takes us sort of into a more contemplative place. We may feel very emotional about what is happening in that outer world. And today is a day for us to allow those outer world conflicts that have triggered some inner conflicts to come up to the surface for healing, right? For the light, for the healing properties of Chichon as one of the healing energies of the entire, the healing energy of Chichon, but also moving as we move through this this time, and where we resolve some of those issues that have been hidden from us, or where we just have feared to look, right? I think in my process, it was about not wanting to look there, but what did it mean, right? What did it mean if I suddenly let down my guard, if I stopped being so protected of myself or protective of myself? What would that mean? And how scary could that be? So those conflicts coming up, and then we realize that we have the power to impact the world when we change ourselves. So everything about this last day of this spiral of consciousness is about really going into the deep and seeing where it is that the very even smallest changes that you make in your own life have impact on the greater world around you. So if in times of craziness, as we are living through right now, that we focus on the craziness, or we focus on the craziness, the psychosis of it all, then that's what we're empowering, right? Because your thoughts are being donated to that power, to that energy. So instead, if we can bring it in and we can focus that energy on something else, then it even does allow the space for that change to happen in that outer world as well. And if think about us weaving that together through all of our lives, right? For those people who are hearing the sound of my voice at this point in time, or later in the day, or even on the weekend, and the power that we have when we add together our own wills to heal, right? To impact the world in a positive way through our words and our thoughts. It's huge, right? It's huge. I mean, it's huge. Right. And yesterday to me demonstrated the real power. I think sometimes these things in my life happen that way. So I can see the power in that moment of change of your mind, right? Of your mind and the emotion behind that and the words that you're using then to describe that. Because I can tell you that yesterday morning when I touched my ear, I went, oh, I'm really glad I'm going to the doctor today. And that started me down that whole pathway of, okay, what do you want? How do you want this to be? Do you want to struggle with this continuously, or do you want to change that? So what do you want to change in your life? Because you have the power to do that today. Now, that means then tomorrow, we're heading into the one energy. So we're starting something new tomorrow. And it's extraordinary that the one falls within the window of this new moon, where we are ready to start a new cycle anyway. This is our spiral of consciousness, and it comes at one transcending. So the umbrella energy for the next 13 days beginning tomorrow will be all about transcending. And that means it's a powerful time for all of us, because this is in the Mayan calendar, this was Chimi or Kimi, and it was a representation of the owl, sort of the death mask, and the thought of what do we have to die to in order to rebirth, right? Rebirthing. So what can we contribute to the collective goals or the things that are happening in the outer world? We have to be able to forget our old tapes, our old patterns. We have to forget our old grievances, our old emotional wounds. And we have to be able to let go, forgiving everything that has been in the past, and trust that there is a new beginning that's emerging here, right? Even though these last few months, and indeed the last year and a half, last 4 years, since 2008, when Pluto moved into Capricorn, life has been weird. And we have to trust that this is a new beginning. So one transcending has us looking at that in within ourselves. Where do we trust in the power of love? Where do we trust in the power of new beginnings? Letting go of what no longer serves us or what no longer serves the world. And let me say this, that's a tricky one, right? Because I think we want to hold on, right? We want to hold on to all of the things that we think we know, right? That we believe are truths. And so here's a time that we set up to transcend that old and to open up to the new. So the next 13 days after tomorrow will all be about transcending, but with different impulses on the different days as we go through that. So I hope everybody understands how that works, because that's a different way of looking at a calendar than what we normally do. So those of you who are new or who maybe listen to us in the podcast format, or who are joining us new from from Oneness Radio, for example, we are talking about the Pleiadian Earth calendar, which is a part, I got to go to Zoom here, guys, hold on. So the Pleiadian Earth energy calendar, which is also an astrology system, and it is our guide to conscious evolution. Every day we look at this and we can see both the Gregorian number. So we know that today is the 17th, there we go, 17th, but it is also 13 moving. This is the important part right here, 13 moving, with our tomorrow being one transcending, and then the rest of the roll until we get to the end of the month. So totally different way of looking at evolution personally as well as collectively. And let's see, is there anything in human design I want to speak to before I go on? Tomorrow, of course, is the last day of our human design week. And we'll start our new week on Sunday at the gate 56 and 60. Gate 56 is a storyteller gate. It's a teaching gate. And I think that dovetails quite nicely with the conversation we're having here today about what is the new story that you want to tell, right? If you're the author, and you are, because it's all about the author, the authority that you have to live your life according to you, then that means that you can change your story at any moment as well. And then the gate 60 is about an acceptance, but it is also mutative, so it empowers change. Interesting, that comes up as a change tomorrow in our dynamic as well. Okay, let's take a closer look now at the new moon. I meant to open up the new moon chart before I started this morning. Let me do that really quickly behind the scenes and give you guys an opportunity to ask any questions that you might have. Tell me what you're thinking about during this period of time. Let's see, this is July. So I probably put it under J for July new moon. And new moon, July 20th. There we go. I can't believe we're already to July 20th. So, by the way, it's not the second new moon of July. It is the second new moon in Cancer. So that's a distinguishing thing I want to, you know, make sure everybody knows. I only need the natal chart. So let's just do that one. And then I'm going to broadcast it onto my screen so everybody can see it, because there's some extraordinary patterns I pulled out of that particular chart. And, you know, it's amazing sometimes. This chart, by the way, I printed up last year in May as I was writing the astrology for the almanac, right? The energy almanac. And so I hadn't really looked at this until I went to do the July webinar for my membership group. And then looked at it again this morning and went, wow, you know, every time I look at it, I see new things. And so here we have the new moon coming on July 20th. And at 1:34 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast, which means 10:34 a.m. for those of us on the West Coast, for those of you in the Universal Time Zone, that will be at 17:35. So 5:34, excuse me, p.m. in your time zone. Now, when I look at a new moon, I always look at what are the closest aspects to the moon. Well, I think it's fascinating that one of the biggest aspects to the moon is pointing right here at the part of fortune. And it was sort of last weekend, I decided out of the blue to start looking more deeply at the part of fortune. And the part of fortune, just for those of you who don't know, is an Arabic part. It goes back to more ancient roots of astrology, but it's sort of the average, if you will, of your sun, moon, and rising sign placement. And it tends to point when all of those things are firing as they should, as they are meant to in their highest, where would you find the most joy by living your life? So at this moment in time, if we would look at this chart, this new moon chart as an entity, a being, what we would see is the greatest joy comes from 28 degrees Libra, balance and harmony. And so that jumps out. But the other thing that jumps out to me, and I'm going to see if I can actually draw this, and you know how not so good I am at doing that, but I'm going to give it the good old college try here. Let's see, what color do I want to use? Let's use black so you can really see it, is right here, this point, which happens to be the galactic center and the south node. And it is an inconjunct to, look how nice, woohoo, to the new moon placement at 28 degrees of Cancer. And then if you'll note, that's also an inconjunct, ooh, not so good going this direction, but this is to Sedna. So I'm calling this the Sedna new moon, because I really believe there's something very powerful in her myth for all of us to know about at this point in time. And then the yod that is formed because the Sedna, or the planet Sedna, has a sextile to the moon and to the sun. And so the point here at the galactic center, what might that mean? Well, it might mean for us to really know that there's some new information that's possible for us if we can adjust our stubborn way of looking at things, our fear-based energies, and to this one, which is, like, I think the most important piece, which is about maturing. The myth of Sedna is really a cautionary tale of where we as human beings do not let go of either our children and, you know, cut those apron strings and let them go, or where we as individuals don't seem to be able to cut that string to our own parents, to the wounding, to the pain, and what have you. And we continue then to act immaturely, which is to say maybe not responsibly in the world. Now, I'm not saying that you're all, you know, immature. That's not the idea here. But wherever it is in your life where you're still struggling might be a place where you can trace it back to maybe your father, even. Maybe even the more dominant parent in your life, and to be able to adjust that experience that you're having. Now, if I'm going to change colors here, because there's another extraordinary thing here. Let's see. How do I do that? No, I didn't want to stop sharing. Darn it. There we go. Annotate. There we go. Let's see. Let's change to, well, Let's change to this color. We see also from the galactic center and the part of Fortune's base, right? We have this connection here, a sextile that's forming a yod again up to, well, that was terrible, to Sedna. So holy moly, Janet. There we go. You get the idea. Even though I can't draw with a mouse, you get the idea. If I had a stylus, I might be able to do it differently. So we have this forming base between what makes us happy, right? Balancing and harmonizing the world, bringing, you know, the crazy into the center, and the galactic center, which is streaming new energy and new possibilities and evolutionary impulses to us. And we have to apply them out to Sedna as a process of maturing. Isn't that interesting, right? Now we also have, and I'm going to change colors again. Let's go to blue this time. We also have the new moon and the sun and moon in a conjunction. That's what the new moon is, in an exact opposition to our, you know, taskmaster planet, Saturn. That was terrible too. So we have this opposition going on, and it is at the exact same degree, 28 degrees. So we have very tight opposition, things pulling us in two different directions. We're being pulled across the home and family, safety, security, protection, nurturing energy, home, love energy of home and family versus our worldly selves, right? The part of us that has authority in the outer world. So we have that as an opposition going on in our charts as well. The axis of our worldly self versus our family self. And it would seem to suggest with the new moon here that this is where the focus must be, right? More on our own family, our own world, and extending it out from there, as opposed to down here. Although Saturn is holding the space for us to reconstruct, deconstruct, reconstruct, regenerate, rebuild. And Pluto and Jupiter are still what I would say within orb of that opposition. Pluto is at 23 degrees, so 5 degrees away from the new moon. And Jupiter at 21 degrees in this case, so 7 degrees away. But that is still pretty close, because if you take the power of all of these planets together, they form this, you know, very powerful core of energy that is in the process of this major change. So that is where the moon is. This is, by the way, the first non, let me stop sharing here. This is the first non-eclipse new moon in Cancer since 2017, right? We're clear of the eclipse patterns in Cancer and Capricorn because they've moved on to Gemini and to Sagittarius. So this is our first non-eclipse new moon since then. And so that would be July of 2017. And there's the powerful opposition to Saturn, which is making us think about our karmic duty, our response abilities, and what is it that we need to let go of in order to move toward integrity? What do we have to do to be true to ourselves, right? What are we protecting ourselves from? All of the things that we already talked about in terms of Cancer energy. And here is the question that is for you to contemplate during this new moon window. Where are you feeling blocked, limited, or held back in your life? Because this is where you may feel driven to take action or to set intentions for the new moon, to really dig in there to find where it is that you want to prosper in your life. So where are you feeling blocked, limited, or held back? Because that's likely where you may have the most juice for this particular new moon. Now, I wanted to deepen the conversation about the degree that this particular new moon was sitting at. So I went to my Dane Rudyard book, right? The one I showed you. I don't know what I've done with him now. He moves around my room here. I think I put him back on the shelf. So the astrological mandala, where we take a look at the degree that the event or the planet is sitting at. So I looked it up, and it says a Greek muse weighing newborn twins in golden scales. And the keynote that he notes for this particular degree of Cancer is the intuitive weighing of alternatives. And I think it really struck home with me to hear that, to read that, because of the definition in the head and the ajna right now for everyone via that channel that is rationalization at one end and psychosis at the other end, where we have this pro and con characteristic of the mind. And the nature of our mind is to see things in right or wrong or in those kinds of oppositions. And instead of that very logical sort of bent to how we make decisions, this degree would seem to suggest that it's about following our intuition, our inner guidance, our thing that connects us to spirit. And there's a big, powerful need for us to move more inward at this moon to release ourselves from some of these hurts and wounds that have kept us from doing, that are still are driving everything that's happening on the planet. Everything happening on the planet could be traced back. If we did some contact tracing, we could go back to a fear, right? A fear of not surviving. So death, right? The fear of death. Now, if we look at Sedna again in the context of the new moon, it's where we might feel abandoned, where we have maybe been felt rejected by our family of origin. This is where we have a very strong call to stop buying into victim energy. So this new moon, the point of that yod pointing right there at Sedna is all about our letting go of that victim mind, growing up, right? This is like, oh, grow up. Change the pattern and claim your power, right? Stop being the whiny, I can't do it, right? We all have it. We all do it. And really claiming then the rightness of who you are in the world and who you want to be. This is not the world dictating to you what you should do or who you should be, but more like you letting go of all that victim consciousness, all those old feelings of that rejection by your family or that abandonment of, you know, by your father or mother and, or anybody else in your life that has created this feeling of you not being able of being the victim, right? Not being able to see how you could become more responsible. So even though this is not an eclipse new moon, I feel like this is probably one of the more powerful moons that we've had, with the exception of the eclipses. They were powerful too, because it really shows us where we can regenerate and change our lives based on our taking responsibility for where we are. It's extraordinary. Okay, so let's see. I can't find all of these. So Anna Fulton says the feminine divine is so powerful right now. I feel it everywhere as the old patriarch fades away. It's very exciting. Yes, it is. But we don't want, we want this to go with ease and grace, right? This upending of everything has been so crazy, but I'm ready for this to come with some ease and some grace. And I hope you guys are as well. Jan, it has me trusting the intuitive stuff and feel safe here to share. Thank you. It's our thing. We need to be trusting our intuition now more than ever, right? Now more than ever. Okay. Hello, Cosmic Calibri. She says, Mr. Wisdom and need your card reading. I really need one now. So let's start that list of peeps who would like readings. And you know what I'm going to do today? I think I'm going to use our Galactic Heritage cards because these are so powerful in gaining assistance from our cosmic brothers and sisters, right? Who have likely been through something like this in their own dimensions, in their own times, in their own societies and cultures. And I feel like that's the help that we really need. So Cosmic Calibri, I cannot remember what your real name is. So I apologize for calling you that. And I know that Debbie asked me for a reading as well. Who else would like that? Loving Light says, thanks. Had a new piece of my freedom. Just completely shifted the last missing piece. Click. Love it. Kimberly would love a reading. Kimberly and Moon Sign Supplies. Again, sorry, Moon Sign. I don't know your real name. So I will call you by what I see here. That's the only thing I have. Jennifer Peachy would like a reading. And Michelle, good. Would like a reading. Amy, energy, and Tom. Okay. And Jenla. Is that, am I reading that right? Jenlak. 06. Okay. So we have quite a bit of readings. It's already 9 o'clock. Holy cow. Where does the time go? So for those of you who are listening to this in the context of a podcast later, this might be the place where you want to, end the broadcast. But if you choose to stay, you have to understand that even if I'm reading these cards for a specific person, it doesn't mean it's only for that person, because we're all kind of woven together here. So this has meaning for everyone. Okay, so, oh, that's right. This one opens up that way. For a moment, I thought I was entering an alternative universe. And how many, raise your hand out there, which means I can't see you, but raise your hand if you felt lately like you're living in an alternative universe, an alternate universe. Like Debbie and I were talking about this last night. We felt like it was a Twilight Zone episode. That's true, right? We feel sort of like this has been a Twilight Zone, that's about the best way I can describe it. And Val, I see you too, and I will write that down here. Okay, let's do these. So this one is for you, Cosmic Calibri, and these are, like I said, the Galactic Heritage cards. Whoa, this one nearly jumped out. And it is the Seduction and Addiction card by Orion. So this is, I'm going to go back to Zoom over here. Hold on here. So here's the card. Seduction and Addiction, card 58, which is a 13, which is a 4. Maybe you're caught up in something that keeps you locked in an old pattern. Let's see what this is about. So Orion, each time we engage in a habit or thought pattern, it grows stronger. We eventually crave the fulfillment of the habit like a drug. The thought of fulfilling that habit acts like a seduction for the ego. It must engage in this behavior pattern in order to feel normal. This is true for our addiction to polarity, judgment, and categorization. We are compelled to judge everything we see or experience in order to make sense of reality and feel safe. But if our consciousness, and thus our planet, is going to transform, we must learn to resist the seduction of this addiction, which will shift us to a transcendent state. So this card refers to the time in Orion history when they were trying to heal the polarity in their civilization and their consciousness. They were eventually successful, but it took a lot of self-exploration in order for them to stop reinforcing the old habitual patterns of polarized thought. As long as polarized thought exists, beings are never free to live their true selves. So what is polarized thought? It can be obvious, such as viewing reality through the lens of good and evil, or it can be subtle, such as unconsciously seeing yourself as separate, bad, lacking, non-deserving, and so on. As long as we allow polarized thought to dominate our awareness, it is like feeding an addiction that only craves more and more polarized beliefs in order to survive. The addiction is seductive. It lures you into the trap of self-sabotaging beliefs and behaviors and stops the process of awakening. If this card came up in your reading, look at the other cards. Well, there aren't any, but you could listen to the other cards that we pull for other people, Cosmic, to see if there is a theme repeating itself. It is also asking you to examine your innermost self for addictive thought patterns that keep you stuck in suffering and pain. Those thought patterns are no longer necessary, and when they change, suffering is lessened considerably. The power for change, freedom, and happiness is in your hands, and it all stems from being aware of how your thoughts affect your experience of reality. The ancient Orions had to learn this also. They succeeded and eventually awakened to a very high level of consciousness. This is possible for you as well. Whoa. Wow. I love that. That gives me chills, Cosmic. So such a great thing for you to be able to release and to accommodate within yourself, right? All right, Debbie Tibbetts, to me all. This one is your Cosmic Galactic Heritage card. And whoa, I dropped them all. Okay, serious long-term goals. Serious, and this one connects you to the past, which is a 9. And if you look, this appears to be a pregnant woman, maybe, with something, you know, a baby within, right? Suggesting a new birth, but going back to the past. Long-term goals, 45, which is a 9. And, boy, did I mess that up. I'm going to have to fix that. Okay, so let's take a look at what that one means. 45. And this is also serious. Okay, serious. The long-term goals of the Syrians lasted for generations and spanned thousands of earth years. This required extreme focus, discipline, discipline, and dedication. Many people who had Syrian lifetimes still retain this ability to focus and carry out long-term projects. Use this pattern as a skill that can benefit you greatly in this life, especially in regard to your spiritual development. If you have difficulty completing long-term goals, then seek out ways to move beyond this resistance. An ability to be focused and disciplined in spiritual growth is essential. Let your Syrian forefathers guide you. This card refers to the long-term goals of the Syrians who assisted Earth in the ancient days and their ability to see far into the future as to what a new planet, Earth, would need in its development. Many of their selfless goals to help the evolution of Earth have been carried on for millennia. Galactic species must have this long-range vision in order to perpetuate life, nurture it, and ensure its survival through the challenging periods of its evolution. And boy, aren't we in one now. If you have pulled this card, it is possible that you have a connection to a lifetime during this ancient Syrian era when they were assisting with this evolution of Earth through genetic projects, spiritual teaching, and protection of the new humans. It could also mean that you have the skill of long-range vision, being able to see a project through to its fruition over the long term. Conversely, if that is not a skill that you are aware of within yourself, this card may be challenging you to begin to develop the skill as a means to discipline yourself, focus, and complete the goals you have for this life. Look at the surrounding cards for further clues. Know that rushing the completion of a project is less important than being focused on the task and carrying it out with integrity, commitment, and thoroughness. Only then can you discharge the energy and the responsibility of the promise you have made to fulfill this goal. Wow. That's a good one for all of us too. I'm assuming everybody is okay with me going forward with these cards. So I'm just going to proceed with that one for you, Kimberly. You were next. I have to take a moment to reorient the cards because they sort of jumped at that moment I got Debbie's card out. And now they're all cattywampus. Okay, they're fixed. So this one will be for you, Kimberly Eberhardt. And this is, again, the Galactic Heritage. Ooh. And they want you to know about unconditional love. This is Arcturus. The card itself doesn't show me any real clues to its meaning, but unconditional love sure does. And 7 being a highly spiritual number. And Arcturus being a very powerful galactic system for us to know about. So 7, Arcturus. This is for you, Kimberly. What is unconditional love? Human words cannot adequately define it, as its true nature lies beyond human limitation. However, imagine being seen by the universe for who you are, the darkness and the light, and being infinitely loved no matter what. The Arcturus energy is in total balance and loves and supports humanity in this way. It embraces our light and dark sides totally. Now it is time to ask yourself these questions. Am I capable of giving unconditional love? Am I capable of receiving it fully? If the answer is no, find out why not. Those answers will reveal your next spiritual lesson. The Arcturian consciousness is profoundly connected with Earth and has assisted in her development since the planet's inception. Within the card deck now, the Arcturian consciousness represents another phase of fragmentation, consciousness has not yet manifested as physical and still expresses itself in groups. But this fragmentation plays a very specific role for humans and other young planetary species who still struggle with polarity. This card specifically works with the issue of unconditional love. Ultimately, the universe loves itself unconditionally, but those words actually do not express the pure essence of the idea. Since you are part of the universe, it stands to reason that you, in your true state, love yourself unconditionally too. But once we incarnate as humans, we struggle with accepting and/or giving this love, and instead close ourselves off not only from the universe, but from ourselves as well. If this card comes up in your reading, it is encouraging you to work with this idea of unconditional love, whether it is self-love or self-acceptance or loving others. This is one of those spiritual roadblocks in a sense. We cannot progress in our development if this issue is not addressed and healed. More than any other star energy, the Arcturus energy works with every single human being. Remember, we are all these star energies. They are simply expressing aspects of ourselves within the hologram of creation. I feel the power in that one for everybody. Okay, so the next reading here will be for Moon Sign Supplies. Sorry, I don't know your real name, but you'll know who you are. And again, I'm pulling this from the Galactic Heritage cards. They seem to have a profound meaning for us today. See sort of some themes. Whoa, that one just totally jumped out. And Fusion and Magic. This is also Orion. And Fusion and Magic, the card 55, which is a 10, which is a 1, new beginning. And it is also our number of the evolution. It represents our evolution toward the abundance of spirit in human design. And the big evolutionary leap that is coming here soon, within 7 years. Okay, so Moon Sign Supplies. The Orion energy, deeply polarized, went through a dramatic healing process in which those polarities fused together to create a powerful energy that fueled their society's transformation. Whenever two forces collide within us, it creates a process of fusion that releases an intense energy for manifestation. This is the basis of what we call magic, the fusion of two opposite energies that are harnessed and directed in a desired way. This is why it's important to embrace both the shadow and the light sides within us. We then create magical transformation. It's like alchemy, right? Embrace your abilities as a magician, or musician if that works too. This card refers to the era of Orion history in which polarity conflicts were beginning to heal. It was a volatile time that contained many miracles and transformations. Imagine taking two very powerful magnets and making them repel each other. As you move the magnets closer together, despite their resistance to each other, energy coalesces in between the magnets and becomes more pressurized. If the force that brings the magnets together surpasses the resistance, the energy created initializes a type of fusion that collapses resistance, reverses poles, and creates rapid integration. This is what happened in Orion. These energetic principles are the basis for certain forms of magic. This type of integration cannot be forced or controlled. It usually happens during a time of great resistance. This card may be coming up for you because there is something you are resisting in your reality. Eventually, you will be forced to surrender to the powerful force of energy guiding this transformation. This card may be referring to a past life or a present situation. This is a powerful card of transformation, but it also contains a warning about your own resistance to change and growth. If you continue to resist, be ready for lots of intense energy and chaos around you before transformation can occur. If you wish to avoid that chaos and intensity, simply let go and follow the flow, even if you think it is taking you somewhere you do not want to go. It is possible that the flow is taking you somewhere you need to go. Well, I can resonate with that one as well. These are sort of magical cards. All the cards are sort of magical. Next, Jennifer Peachy. Let's find your Galactic Heritage card for today. I hope you guys don't mind me sticking with this. I don't have the time to go back and forth, so I don't know if everybody's okay with this or not. I'll go back and look at comments shortly. I just want to try to get to everybody that I can. Today, for you, Jennifer, is about fluidity. Fluidity. And it is Andromedan energy. Andromeda. And sort of a parallel thing going on. A parallel universe, maybe. Five. Change. Being fluid. Moving. Right? Today's our moving energy. And five is... The nature of consciousness is to be fluid, to flow with the natural currents of the universe. But life in a physical body often causes us to be rigid, whether in beliefs, actions, or emotions. Andromedan consciousness is very fluid also. You know how to be this way innately as well. Take some time every day to connect with the Andromeda energy and practice going with the flow. See how your life changes when you don't try to control your reality. This isn't about becoming a victim. Let yourself surf the universal energy instead of trying to control it. See what happens. To understand the concepts of the Andromedan reality, it is recommended that you read commentaries for the other cards that go before. Well, we don't have time for that. But of particular importance is to remember one reason why the Andromedans are our teachers, because they offer a contrasting reflection in which we can see ourselves, particularly regarding the human qualities of rigidity, resistance, and attachment. Continuing with the theme of what the Andromedans have to teach us, this card speaks to the results of embracing change, letting go of confusion, and remembering our natural state of fluidity. This inner quality is extremely important because when we incarnate into more dense realities like Earth in the 3D, we will experience a greater degree of suffering if we do not remember our true fluid nature. If this card appears in your reading, look at the other cards surrounding it, maybe the ones that we've heard already this morning, as maybe it is challenging you to find your fluidity as a way to end your suffering. In any case, as planet Earth goes through its transition, the quality of fluidity in our consciousness becomes an essential skill that will serve to carry us into the new paradigms of being. Without fluidity, we will simply be forever stuck in the old, recycling the belief patterns that hindered evolution. The natural state of consciousness is fluidity. Let yourself tap into that truth and know that the Andromedan consciousness is there to assist when needed. Fluidity. That's your message there, Jennifer P. Michelle Good, this is for you. And let's get these again. I'm pulling from the Galactic Heritage cards. And this is by Lyssa Royal Holt. Lyssa, L-Y-S-S-A. Okay, so for you, Michelle, true compassion. This is Orion Light. Interesting card. Shield, looks like some kind of blobby monster. Orion Light, it represents future, and it's called True Compassion. Card 107, which is an 8. And is that the last card of the deck? Nope, it is not, but Orion. So Michelle, true compassion is a deep recognition that all consciousness is part of a greater whole. Whatever one aspect experiences, it is experienced by the whole. Thus, when you see pain and suffering in the world, know that pain exists within you too. When you find pain within you and embrace it fully, the whole feels love and compassion. At first, this may hurt because it is natural to try to shield yourself from the pain of another. But eventually, the love you share will melt away the pain. The Orion Light asks you to not fear pain and to use it as a gateway to true compassion. The last four cards of the deck access the Orion Light, which connects to a very evolved era in Orion history. Within the Orion system, where polarity was at its deepest, the concept of oneness or unity was something incomprehensible. But once the Orions made their transformation with help from an awakened master, they realized that every person in their reality, even those who were previously feared or despised, is actually just an aspect of themselves. As the species consciousness transformed, true compassion was born. The ability to see every other being in creation as an aspect of the one, and to care for and love others as you would the creator himself. With this new awareness, separation could no longer be maintained. Hearts opened and a rapid transformation of the Orion people began. Eventually, the same will happen on Earth. If you pulled this card, the meaning depends on your circumstances. It may be a subtle message to develop your compassion more, not from a philosophical perspective, but from a transformational one in which your perspective changes from separation to oneness. Conversely, this card may be acknowledging your progress. If so, congratulations. Also remember that compassion is necessary toward the self. Often we are the most hurtful to ourselves, judging or punishing ourselves for our perceived flaws. In order to transcend polarity and awaken, this self-judgment must stop. Treat yourself with the same kindness as you would any other being in creation. If you truly embrace the concept of unity, then you cannot omit yourself from the equation. Woo! Woo, woo, woo. I feel that one really in a big way. Okay, Michelle, I hope that all makes sense for you. Amy, this one is for you. The cards are flying. It's really a pretty big deck. And yet I can fit it in my hand. It just feels awkward because it's so thick. Because there's, 110 plus cards here? It doesn't say, but we were on 107. All right, so Amy, darling, this is for you. It is Dreamtime and Awakening. It is called the Cetacean Whale. It is a parallel universe, maybe a parallel life you are in. Dreamtime and Awakening, also a 10 and a 1. So we have the ending and a beginning. So let's see what this has to say for all of us here. Okay. The whale. While whale consciousness, which is connected to Sirius and is more like a group consciousness, has the capability of rising above the dream of physical reality and operating in an awakened state. For millennia, whales have been our guides beyond the physical plane. Now that it is time for human consciousness to evolve, we too must learn to rise above the dream of physical reality and enter the awakened state that is the true reality. In meditation, imagine the loving presence of a whale and connect with its heart. Breathe together. Let it guide you through dream time and into awakening. Whale consciousness connected to Sirius is very unique, whereby individual human souls incarnate in bodies. Whale consciousness is a fifth density vibration and represents group consciousness. Amy, I'm getting chills about this for you. And each whale is actually a group unified field of consciousness. Whale consciousness has the ability to operate in an awakened state, seeing the true reality of existence instead of the dream time of the illusion of physical reality. And Debbie, remember us talking about this last night, where we were asking, is maybe our dreams the reality and this physical world is the nightmare? That this comes up, it's too crazy. So whale consciousness has the ability to operate in an awakened state, seeing the true reality of existence instead of dream time of illusion of the physical reality. For millennia, whales have acted as spiritual guides for indigenous peoples around the world, coming to them in dreams to communicate the greater truths of the universe. If this card has appeared in your reading, you most likely have a strong connection with Sirius and/or whale consciousness already. Or this consciousness is just beginning to work with you and wishes to be acknowledged. If you wish to work with it, connect with whale consciousness before going to sleep. This will open you to further communication and guidance in the dream state. Whale consciousness is essential to this time now on Earth because they serve as guides for human consciousness as we break free of illusion and begin to awaken. It is also possible that if this card appears in your reading, there is something in your life that needs to be seen clearly without illusion for you to move into the next level of your growth. Wow. I was just thinking about you yesterday, Amy, because I was doing a chart for someone that you had sent to my website that I'm assuming is also a part of your group and is also a projector. And I was thinking about the number of people that you've sent to my website to get charts and reports and how many of them are projectors, right? Maybe your projector consciousness is this whale consciousness that is acting as the song to drive, to pull you all together. It's pretty amazing. That's what gave me chills when I saw that the whale came up in your chart. All right, Tom. Wow, this is a repeat card. How funny is that? Out of this thickness of cards, we pull a repeat card. And it is the card 45 that says long-term goals, serious of the past, right? And there is this need for goals. And I am going to go ahead and read it again, because apparently it's something that we all need to take in and understand more fully, including you, Tom. And it says, the long-term goals of the Syrians lasted for generations and spanned thousands of earth years. This required extreme focus, discipline, and dedication. Many people who had Syrian lifetimes still retain this ability to focus and carry out long-term projects. Use this pattern as a skill that can benefit you greatly in this life, especially in regard to your spiritual development. If you have difficulty completing long-term goals, then seek out ways to move beyond this resistance. An ability to be focused and disciplined in spiritual growth is essential. Let your Syrian forefathers guide you. And the commentary, this card refers to the long-term goals of Syrians who assisted Earth in the ancient days and their ability to see far into the future as to what a new planet, Earth, would need in its development. Many of their selfless goals to help the evolution of Earth have been carried on for millennia. Galactic species must have this long-range vision in order to perpetuate life, nurture it, and ensure its survival through the challenging periods of its evolution. If you have pulled this card, it is possible that you have a connection to a lifetime during this ancient Syrian era when they were assisting with the evolution of humans. It could also mean that you have the skill of long-range vision, being able to see a project through to its fruition over the long term. Conversely, if that is not a skill that you are aware of within yourself, this card may be challenging you to begin to develop the skill as a means to discipline yourself, focus, and complete the goals you have for this lifetime. Look at the surrounding cards for further clues. I would look at all of the cards that we've pulled for readings here today. And know that rushing the completion of a project is less important than being focused on the task and carrying it out with integrity, commitment, and thoroughness. Only then can you discharge the energy and the responsibility of the promise you have made to fulfill the goal. That one just sort of confuses me a bit, Tom. I'm not sure what that's all about, but we have had it twice today. Once I think it was Debbie's card as well. And what is the need for us to focus on long-term goals? Jen Lacko 6, this is one for you. And then Val, I will do yours, and that will be the last one. And I'm sure there are others of you who wanted a reading. Whoa, Val, I have paradox for you. Not Val, I apologize. Val, I'm sorry. I'm going to skip Genlac because I have a feeling that this one was really for you, and it's called Paradox. Zeta Reticuli, the future. And never fear, Genlac, I will go back to yours, but on some unconscious level, this popped out for Val. 98, which is a 17, which is an 8, and Zeta Reticuli. I don't think I've heard of this one before. 98, here we go. So, Val, the Zetas passed through an essential transformation. The Zetas passed through an essential transformation paradigm on their way to enlightenment. It has to do with an alchemical shift from a state of polarity to the paradox of containing both poles simultaneously in total balance with no preference for either. Spiritually, they learned to be both full, containing the universe in all its forms, and empty, containing nothing but conscious awareness. Living this paradox is a point of power, and it is the key for spiritual transformation. You contain this paradox as well. Learn to tap into Learn to tap into it to accelerate your evolution. Let the Zetas guide you. This card refers to the Zeta era in which their species became enlightened. The theme of this card may be the most difficult one in the deck to understand because the mind is used to processing its view of reality through polarity, choosing one or the other. A paradox is seemingly true statements or a group of statements that leads to a contradiction or a situation that seems to defy logic or intuition. The mind cannot grasp that two opposing forces can sometimes coexist harmoniously. Very often when people discover a paradox on their spiritual journey, they believe it is because they have somehow failed in their work. The opposite is true. It means we are closer to the truth because truth cannot exist within a polarized perspective. As we teach ourselves to go beyond this or that, a whole new reality opens. If this card came up in your reading, it points to a shift in your perspectives that is on the horizon or happening now. This shift can take you closer to unlocking limited beliefs and perspectives that keep you stuck. If you encounter a paradox in your life, resist the temptation to make a choice of this or that. Let the two ideas both be present without choosing one or the other. Let yourself feel what that does within your consciousness. This was one of the key exercises that helped to free the Zeta species and facilitate their enlightenment, and it will be a key in human transcendence as well. Wow. So, Val, what are you struggling with in your life? Now, this one is for you, Jen Lacko 6, and we'll pull this card for you. Ooh. And Jen Lack, new paradigm. This is a card from Andromeda as well. It is the number 6. How funny that you are Jen Lack 06 and you get the card 6 that represents a new paradigm in Andromeda. Let's look at that. I bet this will be fantastic. Okay, every culture adheres to a specific paradigm of reality. Earth's paradigm has to do with polarity. The Andromedan paradigm is about experiencing the unexpected and being in a constant state of change. When we are in foreign terrain where we don't know the rules, we have to use our inner compasses to navigate. We all have one, but few know how to use it. This card tells you that change is coming both to your planet and to your individual life. Learn now how to operate in a foreign paradigm by accessing that inner compass. Your evolution can be not only painless, but joyful. The commentaries for cards 3, 4, and 5 will help you understand. Da, da, da. We didn't read those, but we can take a look at all the other cards that have popped up here today. Once we have made progress in acknowledging and living as our true nature, a fluid state of integration in constant change and evolution, the natural result is the creation of a new paradigm. This is one of the reasons for turmoil on Earth now. The evolutionary directive for growth is conflicting with the habitual fear of change. That kind of conflict creates a circumstance in which it seems that nothing on a societal or planetary level can move forward. Progress becomes stuck. While this may be happening on Earth now, it may also be happening within you. When you stop resisting change and always seeking safety, you create a new empowered paradigm through which you can live your life. This personal paradigm shift greatly affects the mass consciousness field of Earth and fosters a planetary paradigm shift as well. But first, you have to walk into the unknown with the only map that matters, the one that comes from within you. The Andromedan consciousness is always supporting you. Their energy gently guides and encourages a profound personal and planetary shift in consciousness based on the pure, fluid nature of consciousness itself. Wow. Okay. Wow. I'm almost like worn out. That's a lot for all of us to take in. If you even took in 1/10 of all of that, how amazing a transformation it could be in your life. So perhaps it would be good for to take that that chunk of the broadcast today and replay it for yourself to hear everybody's cards and how they might, those, that wisdom can apply to you as an individual as well. I'm sorry I did not get to other people that might have wanted a reading, but I do want to say that, you know, everyone received here today, because there's a lot of wisdom in all of the cards that we have. So, all right. I see a bunch of comments going by. My vision literally is fuzzed out. I'm starving at this moment. I feel like I need to go, you know, recharge my batteries here. So I'm wishing all of you a wonderful weekend, a prosperous new beginning as we move into the new energy of transcending in our human design. But first we have today, not our human design, Pleiadian. Today is a day for us to contemplate all that we've learned and to integrate everything and to be ready to prepare for our new thing. So, all right. Thanks so much, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Take care. Bye for now.